Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is On Air Daily News for Wednesday, May 31st, 2023. I'm Naima Latif. And today, the Chicago City Council passed the very controversial legislation allowing for $51 million to be spent on migrants who have been sent to Chicago from Texas and are seeking asylum. This has been a very controversial issue for newly elected Mayor Brandon Johnson, and that many of those opposing the measure have said that there are families that have been struggling with homelessness and poverty for decades and have been ignored, and yet the newly arriving migrants are getting financial assistance that the current citizens have been told is unavailable. So there are issues of anger, and today's City Council, the public had an opportunity to express their opinions. And many gave testimonies stating that they believe that because of the long suffering of current residents, particularly those in the African American community, that the council should withhold any funding of any others until it took care of its own longtime citizens first. This was a sentiment that was echoed by the three aldermen who offered the no votes to this measure. And they made it clear that while they did not disagree that the migrants deserved help, they also felt that the city's priorities needed to be more sensitive to its current population, its long-time population, and its long-time neglected population in the African American community. So for those who supported this measure, they made the statement that this was a necessary move, a humanitarian decision, not one that had to do with whether one group or another was more worthy, but simply a step toward perhaps all citizens receiving the needed assistance. Among those voting yes on this ordinance was Alderman Byron Sheetsko, and the 25th Ward Alderman also was passionate in his stand for the immigrants receiving funding. He was available. He was present when Mayor Brandon Johnson visited the 12th District Police Station and translated for him so that those who were seeking help understood his position. Alderman Byron Sheetsko Lopez of the 25th Ward urged unity in this issue, saying that there also does need to be support for the reparations legislation that's been proposed earlier to address inequities among the African American communities. And here is Alderman Byron Sichko Lopez of the 25th Ward speaking at the council meeting in favor of the $51 million funding for the immigrants.
I'm going to tell you that today we have an opportunity to come together to start addressing these injustices, to talk about money, this money going to help poor communities, to build infrastructure that all communities need, with participation of each community. We also have to make sure that we look and what the funding is at, because if we can pay the $51 million that we're getting so that kids don't go hungry, it's peanuts compared with the $1 million that the city of Chicago pays for police misconduct settlements every time. But today I tell you, this is the time for us to come together. Are we going to stand our hand to the leaders of the South Shore? I'm asking to offer a hand so that we work together. And then, I'd like to say finally, that the leaders, and I just recently remember the 90, what would it be, the 90 years of Malcolm X. And it's very important, the framework that he used. Malcolm X talked about the human rights and talked about the self-determination of our community. And that's what we're talking about here, about human rights, the human rights of every community, because we cannot have children starving no matter where we are. We cannot have people begging for shelter when we have the resources. Today, we can make a decision as a community to start undoing these injustices by investing in every single corner of the city of Chicago. And it starts today. I offer and extend my hand, just like we did last week, to work together on a plan to invest in our community. Because all communities are suffering. We are advocating for every community. So,
and that was the 25th Ward Alderman of Chicago, Alderman Byron Sichko Lopez. And he was one of those who urged unity in this matter, saying that support for the $51 million for the migrants did not negate the importance of the African American communities that have been long neglected. Among those who voted no on the financing was 17th Ward Alderman David Moore. And he also made an impassionate plea for more support for the neglected communities. In his statement to his colleagues, he reminded them of the many years of striving to get housing, striving to get schools that had been closed to be used so that those who were out of doors could have shelter. And those requests had been ignored over and over again. So what should happen in the case where residents are still out of doors and this money is being given to newly arriving migrants, non-citizens, and yet they're given preference. So he spoke passionately and made it clear that though he did not stand against the need for the migrant families to receive shelter through the proposed school in the South Shore area where it is proposed that they be housed, but he also said that it is imperative to send a message to those neglected communities that they matter. This is a challenge for Mayor Brandon Johnson. The fact that he has pledged to those families that they will be welcomed makes it difficult to then deny them. And even though the mayor does not vote, but merely chairs the meetings, there were those among the public activists who spoke who issued what sounded like a threat to disrupt the city if passed. So once again, the city of Chicago is in a state of division. And as was stated at last week's press conference, it would appear that the city is being deliberately divided among its African American and Spanish-speaking communities. And how can that division be overcome unless there is equal funding provided? This is what some of the aldermen in favor of the ordinance suggested. And for those who are upset, they have reached out to 25th Ward Alderman Byron Chico Lopez, who offered to extend some type of plan to support the reparations legislation. That piece of legislation has been very controversial and has most definitely had the impact of dividing the city council just as this has done. So today, we listen to a bit of the public testimonies for and against the measure, which did in fact pass the city council, 43 yay, nay, and four members who were not present, one that was officially absent and the other three that were simply not in the chambers at the time of the vote.
So if you can hear my voice, please log into your device. If you need support, please raise your hand. The meeting will start momentarily.
And today's meeting was one that involved many who were very much involved in the process of defending their belief that this measure was unfair.
I vote the voice vote. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Opinion of the chair. The ayes have it. The journal is approved. Now, unfinished business. Alderman Mitchell.
Mr. President, I am aware of one piece of unfinished business. A notice was filed by Chairman Irvin, which calls for a vote on S02023-1605, which was deferred and published on May 24, 2023.
Thank you, Alderman. The chair recognizes Chairman Irvin.
Mr. President, I move passage of Substitute Ordinance 2023-1605, an amendment to the 2023 Annual Appropriation Ordinance to appropriate opioid and vaping settlement funds and to appropriate funds to support recently arrived migrants, which was deferred and published at the May 24, 2023 City Council meeting by a roll call vote.
Thank you. Do any members wish to speak on this item before we vote?
Mr. President, I reserve the right to close.
Chair recognizes Alderman Moore.
Thank you, Mr. President. Let me first start out by saying the soul of Chicago is somewhat on trial today regarding this ordinance. As I sat here and I listened to people, my heart was sort of broken in certain ways. One, we use this term, it takes a village to raise a child. My stepmother came here from Mexico. She helped raise me along with my mom. We live together. I have a community, Chicago Lawn, Arvin Gresham, Englewood, in which approximately at one time 20%, but now about 15% of my residents are Latino. It hurts my heart as I hear people talk about trying to make this a black and brown issue. Those politicians at the top do that mess. The people, they're living together, they're married, same races, but they're having these conversations. And what they're having conversations about is, how am I living here as a resident in Chicago? And what's being given to me as a resident? I have some of my Latino residents saying those same things as they call me and their houses are falling through. This ordinance came up through the last administration, was passed through that committee, and I'm not sure if this administration supports it. And so I haven't heard from this administration on this issue. Have no one called me and say that this administration supports this ordinance or not. I think the people should know that emphatically, whether this administration supports this ordinance. I went to a police station, 7th District it was, and I saw little babies. Some of them looked just like me. If you didn't know any better, you would have thought they were African American. Coughing, laying on the floor. They escaped their conditions to come here. Then I get calls and I hear from my seniors who have paid their taxes for 60 and 70 years. Their porches are falling down. Their roofs are collapsing. And yet they have to go through a lottery. They have to go through a lottery to try to stay in their house. Some of them end up homeless. Then I have boys and girls in Ogden Park. Everybody want to push them from downtown. Even talking about in some cases arresting them.
But they say, Alderman, I want to go to the field house, but it's 100 years old. And it's falling apart. And y'all can't get us no money for that? My heart hurts for both. But I'm reminded when Herb Washington said, loving my people, loving my residents, don't mean I hate anyone else. I have a diverse population, and I hear those same people, black, white, Latino, everybody different races, saying, what about us? So people keep saying there's enough to go around. I've heard that over and over. I've heard that over and over. So if there's enough to go around, then let's pass an ordinance where we see the enough. I'm reminded when the flight attendant says on the plane, in an emergency, make sure you put your mask on first before you help someone else. Because if you die, you can't be a blessing to no one else. And so we have to put our mask on first, and we have to help the residents of this great city. It's not an either or. It's a both and. But you got to show them together. The other part is strategy. It's not just about $51 million. I haven't proofed it out, but I'm very confident the money is already spent. We got delegate agencies here, I'm sure, is doing all the work and waiting to get reimbursed. But what we don't have here is someone saying, hey, here's something for everyone. This is how we can best serve everyone, so that that senior can have that roof, so that senior can have that porch. And all of that becomes important. But if that strategy isn't there, and I've said this in committees, I've said this in public, I've said it in private, the county, the state, the federal government, you can't just lay this at the city of Chicago. I think the governor just passed 90-something million for the entire state, and we're talking about 51 million just for the city of Chicago. It's not right, it's not fair. It's not right, and it's not fair. And so, we have to put a strategy together, and not just about 51 million. We gotta hold the federal government responsible. People gotta get in those rooms. The county have to have some skin in the game. The governor has to have some skin in the game. And we're not seeing that. And it cannot be put on the backs of the residents of Chicago without showing them that they're getting something out of this. And so I urge my colleagues to vote no on this item. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Alderman Moore. Thank you. Chair recognizes Alderwoman Haddon.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you to my colleague, Alderman Moore. I always appreciate your comments, David. And I'm going to echo, I think, some of David's feelings of listening to everybody, all of our public speakers, but also, you know, I'm a black American. I'm from Ohio. I was talking to some of our speakers about, as an African American, as a black American, as an, you know, American descendant of slavery, it's really challenging to not have connections and not have real lasting connections to our heritage. And it's really challenging and frustrating to live in a country that hates us. Just is. This country hates black people, it hates indigenous people, it hates other people a little bit less, but it hates them too if they're not mainstream. I spent a lot of my time before getting into politics organizing for my neighborhood. I'm in Rogers Park. And I'm sorry I'm not from Chicago, but not everybody's perfect, you guys. But I've been here for 20 years, and Rogers Park has been my home for almost all of that. So I spent a lot of time organizing to keep my home after the economic crisis. It was an awakening for me as a young adult to try to get my first home because I couldn't afford rent in the city. And so I bought a place, and I was able to pay for it. And then we had the financial crisis, right? And I lost my place. And I lived in a place with school teachers and police officers and sales clerks, everybody's first time. And to go through a personal crisis where for several years, everybody up top got bailed out and nobody at the bottom did. And I lost my home. And it was my first personal organizing experience. So before then, I tell people, I voted, I read the newspaper, I worked full-time, I was in grad school part-time, I volunteered at a local organization actually helping people pass their citizenship test, Central Romero. I knew my neighbors, and I felt involved, and then the economy fell apart, and I didn't know who to go to for help. I went to my older person, he couldn't help. I went to my community like organizations, they couldn't help. As a matter of fact, a lot of the community organizations that had been set up to do community development, I know you guys had this experience too, they fell apart. They fell apart during the economic crisis, right? They had to close. Going through that is what really put me in a space of wanting to know more. Because once I started organizing on my issue with my neighbors to save our building, I met other people outside of my block. I met other people in my neighborhood, and I learned a lot, and it made me angry. It made me very angry because there was nothing set up in the city of Chicago to help me and my neighbors. And Rogers Park was like one of the neighborhoods hit really hard, but it was all over Chicago, right? It just happened everywhere. And this is just, that was just my first adult experience. We've had many of them over the decades, many of them over the generations, where working class people, predominantly black people, brown people, new people to the country, where working class people start to get a little traction and then everything's pulled out from underneath us. So my civic engagement led me into politics. I ended up joining the Black Youth Project 100, Chicago chapter, BYP 100. I organized and was part of organizations right at the start of the Black Lives Matter movement. And a lot of the things that drove me to that organization was a belief in a black queer feminist lens. So there's a lot of ways we can look at our organizing. But making sure that we center people most impacted, right? When we talk about there is enough, when we talk about how doing this will help everybody, that's nice. And I know people get upset about it when it's not specific, right? But with a black queer, right, like feminist lens, we get really specific of who's at the bottom of the ladder, right? It's the black woman, it's the black trans woman, if you get down to it, right? But it's black people. And so if we do things to support our community, if we do what we're supposed to bring us up, everyone benefits. Period. It's just what it is. So that's a lot of, in this first term, like this is our second meeting of my second term in Chicago City Council. I did not think I would ever run for elected office. I did not ever think that I would proudly wear the title of alderperson because there's so much that goes with this local government body in this city that is shameful. So much of it. And that's how it also is, right? Like there's a lot of conflict in living in this country as a black American. There's so much that's shameful, but we can't change the past. We can only do what's right going forward. As alderperson of the 49th Ward, I have a constituency that's 30% African American, about 30% Latina, and about 10% Asian, and about 30% white. And in that, like, really crude racial categories, there are people from everywhere. There are people of all religious denominations from all different countries. Just last week, actually, thank you, Mayor Johnson, for providing a proclamation for Africa Day. I joined with members of the regional African Union. We celebrated Africa Day at Loyola University, where we got to join with people who are part of the African Union and where the African Union has really embraced our larger diaspora, right, as African peoples. Those are the things that I like to do in council. And at the same time, I'm going to support this because it's the right thing to do in this moment. And I hate to be overly pragmatic about it too, but I'm telling you guys, like Alderman Moore said, he's right. Our organizations and our communities have already been bearing the cost of this. And to be fair, a lot of the migrants that you're seeing at our doors and in our neighborhoods, they didn't charter their own bus to Chicago, right? They were sent here, right? So that's also just really clearly, our city is being a conflict is being created at a weak point in our city, and it's frustrating because this weak point wouldn't exist if our city hadn't spent decades not serving black residents. Right? So I want to lift up and acknowledge what a lot of our speakers have said, right? Because it's true. It's true. And we do have to fix it. So I want to say, I know how we had last term, we had ordinances around reparations, right? Led by Alderman Sawyer. We had a subcommittee formed led by Alderperson Coleman here. I supported that and I still do. I want to speak to members of the body, the audience, but also to our general public. If there are some of you in the city or who are outside of the city who are shocked by some of the reactions from our African-American community, if there are some of you who are confused, I've heard some of those conversations in my neighborhood, amongst friends, amongst people out of the city, where some people are confused. They're like, wait a minute, why are black people in Chicago and some communities so angry? Why is all this kind of anti-immigrant sentiment coming up? And I want to explain to folks, it's because if we cared as much about black people and had over the decades as we do about everyone else, we wouldn't be here. So I'm going to echo that because it's true. And also, I do care about the new arrivals. And I do care about what happens to them. And we can't have people sleeping on the floors of police stations. So I know our mayor has challenged us with doing both. I'm standing before you all as a promise to do so. I already told you I'm saying yes. Yeah. But I'm going to keep talking just for a moment.
And that were two perspectives actually saying the same thing. Of course, among the supporters of ordinance were those who also acknowledged that the ones who voted no had a right. The no votes were 9th Ward Alderman Anthony Beal, 17th Ward David Moore, and 45th Ward Alderman James Gardner. Absent was Brendan Riley of the 42nd Ward, Savannah Tiberius of the 23rd Ward, and Brian Hopkins of the 2nd Ward. And also Deborah Silverstein of the 50th Ward. So 43 yes, 3 no, 4 absent. That was the vote. I'm Naima Latif. You've been listening to On Air Daily News for Wednesday, May 31st, 2023. The City Council passing $51 million. For assistance to migrants. We'll be back tomorrow. Until that time, continue to enjoy your day.